Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, that would be us. Good evening, everyone. Ariel Torres, Arnie Spann, you're in for the guys. Jason Smith and his best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
As we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio Studios, it's all brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more in car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. It is the power hour of the show. Torres, we're used to three-hour shows. We got a four-hour bonanza. Tonight, the bonus hour is next hour. Wow, 4 hours, man. That's a long time, my friend.
4 hours with no Steelers, Ravens. A lot of breaking down Matt Patricia's number two pencil in the back of his ear. Not going to lie. It's tough. Tough stuff.
People jumping all over Matt Patricia, are they not, huh? Getting all over him.
So we talked about the Cowboys a lot throughout these first 2 hours. Where do you stand on the Lions? It's just over for Matt Patricia, right? Like, we need to move on. We need to go another direction.
Oh, of course. That's not even – and by the way, had they won today, they would have gotten within 5 and 6. But, yeah, he's got to be gone. I just the whole thing has not worked. And by the way, I think that it's actually a pretty good job. You'll obviously have to move on from Matthew Stafford, get yourself a young quarterback, but I think it's such a place where you can go nowhere but up. It's so far down, them and the Jets. People are dying for a winner there, and I think you can get a winner. I think it's a pretty good job.
Well, and yet in the fact, the Packers, I mean, Rodgers is, he's got a few years left, but it's not going to be forever. The Bears are going to be looking for a new quarterback and potentially a new coach. The Vikings kind of have it figured out, kind of don't. Are they really like they have the pieces, but are they really a team that you can't get over? What I'm saying is, you talk about a league where there's so many young, dynamic quarterbacks. This division is not a division that has very many of them, none of them at all, as a matter of fact. I think you can not only move up, but you can move up pretty fast.
All right. By the way, good evening, everyone. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving out there. Hope you enjoyed it. No, it's tough to be away from loved ones. I hope everybody was Zooming out there. I think I heard that Zoom was taking away their 40-minute limit so friends and family can go ahead and get together. It's a tough time, but I'm looking forward to it. I actually may stay up to New Year's we'll probably be working for 2021 and bring that new year in. I can't wait for that, you know?
We just got through Thanksgiving. You're skipping right through Christmas straight to New Year's?
Okay. I can't wait. 2021 can't get here fast enough. By the way, on a little side note, remember last week when Tennessee and Baltimore were playing and Tennessee players before the game went out and were standing on the Baltimore logo before Sunday's game at M&T Bank Stadium? And then there was a little jawing, a little pushing, a little shoving, a little yakety yak going back and forth. You remember that or you don't remember that?
I do remember that, yeah.
NFL Network caught some of the audio on that.
No, I did not know that part.
Between Harbaugh and Vrabel. And matter of fact, Andrew Siciliano put this out on Twitter. It says, great work by NFL Films and Inside the NFL with the pregame conversation in midfield Sunday in Baltimore. Harbaugh said to Vrabel, hey, it's disrespectful. Vrabel then goes back to him and says, tell him to go coach a game. Harbaugh yells, it's disrespectful. Vrabel yells back, go coach.
Wow.
And that's part of the exchange that was going on before the game. So I don't see any any love loss going on there. You know what I mean?
No, that's interesting. And the thing about Vrabel, well, really both those guys, is they don't strike me as take crap kind of guys, especially Vrabel. So I'm not surprised that based on the video we saw plus the audio that it was a pretty testy affair, if you will.
Yeah. All right, well, the big story today, obviously, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, they didn't get to play. We were stuck with the just horrible games of the Texans and the Lions, which, I mean, even if that was a close game, I was having a tough time swallowing that one down. Followed up by with Washington and the Cowboys, which I thought the Cowboys were going to get a win and start to maybe take a little control of that division. Say, hey, look, if anybody's going to win this division with six wins, why can't it be us? They really showed how bad they are. I didn't even think, look, I knew the Cowboys were bad. I didn't know they were this bad. How about that?
Well, that's really saying something.
It is.
And I get that it was a close game, and then, you know, it was 20-16 early in the fourth quarter, and so it's not quite as bad as it looked. But listen, it went back to all of the problems that the Cowboys have had from the beginning. Too many points, turnovers, penalties, sloppy. It was just, they're just not a well-coached football team. They looked underprepared. They don't look like they know what they're doing. They call the worst possible trick plays at the worst times. To me, it's just, they're just a very poorly coached football team. That's the best way I can put it.
Fake punt was atrocious.
Yes.
Didn't even come close. That's one of the worst fake punts I've ever seen in my life. The fourth down play call, not the fact that they went for it, I was okay with the first one, but to throw it, 7 to 10 yards downfield and have a penalty on the play, atrocious.
Yep. Well,
I mean, it was like they can't do anything right. They're a laughing stock. The Cowboys are a laughing stock like the New York Jets are. That's how bad they are right now.
Well, it was funny because the play you're referencing, I was on the couch with my stepdad. We were watching the game, and he said, oh, they're just going to force him offside. You know, they're going to try to draw him offside.
Right,
and
right.
I said, yeah, maybe. And then when they run, and then, oh, they're snapping the ball. Oh, that was what they ran. So, again, it just speaks to a team that is not well coached. They're going in the wrong direction every week. And you're right, Arnie. They are a laughing stock. It gets worse every week. You can't keep making excuses. It can't all be about not having Dak. It can't be about this guy got injured. At some point, you just stink, and they stink. And
yeah, but even if you have crappy coaching, isn't it up to the players? Sooner or later, after all those years of Jason Garrett and eight and eights, sooner or later, even if you've got an average coach, shouldn't you be good enough to win and make a run at things, right? I mean, can't you win in spite of your coach, or it doesn't work that way?
I mean, they went, 14-2 a couple years ago. So, I mean, yes, you can, but I think that in this particular case, What I believe is happening with the Cowboys is the coach is mediocre and the players are regressing to his level, essentially. Is that I don't know if it's an undisciplined practice, what's going on behind the scenes, but you can't blame the players when it's things that are coaching mistakes that are costing them, which is penalties. It's dumb stuff like that. It's turnovers.
Whose fault is that?
No, see, to me, turnovers are a coaching thing. That is stuff that gets worked on Monday through Friday, and you're either good at it or not. The best coaches, they worry about the littlest details. I remember reading about Urban Meyer, Pete Carroll. These are guys that focus on things like turnovers, focus on things like making sure that you're not penalized. And so, to me, you could say, yeah, the players are on the field.
Yeah, penalties is on the players.
I disagree. I think it's a discipline thing, and I think it starts in the film room, in the locker room, Monday through Saturday, not what happens on Sunday or Thursday.
You should never be drawn offsides if you're a player on defense. Never, ever. If you have discipline, and that comes within yourself, you jump off sides. You can't look at the coach and say that's on you. What's wrong with you, Tori?
Why are the same teams there every single year? Part of it is they have talent, but part of it is they're well coached. Sean Payton got a win yesterday with his third string quarterback. Bill Belichick, I know he's struggling this year, but had a great year with Matt Castle. Had a great couple games with Jacoby Brissett. At a certain point, coaching does matter, and I just think that it can be a trickle-down effect of if this stuff doesn't get fixed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Because, Arnie, you can blame it on the players, and I don't disagree. Zeke Elliott, hold on to the ball. I get that. But when you're doing it time after time after time after time, it goes back to what we were talking about Carson Wentz in hour number two. I mean, is that the coach's fault? Is it the player's fault? It's obviously a ton on Carson Wentz's plate, but it's got to be corrected. And if it's not corrected, you sit his butt on the sideline. Same with Zeke Elliott. Same with all these guys that are getting drawn off sides or whatever. And so to me, I think, yes, individually you can blame the player, but I do think collectively you have to blame the structure that Mike McCarthy has put in place.
Well, I'm going to move on because I'm going to move on from Dak. I have 3 wins. My team's a mess. I've overpaid for my running back. I'm not going to overpay for my quarterback in $40 million a year. Now, coming back from that major injury, I'm no closer to winning a Super Bowl than I've been in the last decade or two. I'm going to punt. I can't continue throwing money at two or three guys and having too many holes on my defense and on my offensive line. I've got to regroup and spread things out and get myself another quarterback that's young and that can build with me.
I got good news for you.
Yeah.
Zeke Elliott is only guaranteed money through 2026, so don't worry.
That's all he's going to get it to then.
No, man, it's crazy. Listen, I'm not sure that I would get rid of Dak because you paid everybody else and you have this window. Now, the question becomes two things. One, do you bring in a new coach? Because Mike McCarthy is clearly not the answer. But then two, the point that you keep bringing up, which I think is the right one, is what – does Dak Prescott do this offseason? He cannot go to the negotiation table. The team was whatever, 1-3 with him, 2-3 with him, whatever they were. They were 1-3 when he got hurt. They ended up winning the game he got hurt.
Right.
You can't go to the negotiation table at 1-3.
Yeah, you can.
Well, yeah, you're a bad negotiator then. As a radio host, do you go to the negotiation table and demand a raise when your ratings are at an all-time low?
No, but you could say, look what the ratings were, look what the team has been since I've been gone. That certainly, they're half of the team.
They were 1-3 with them. They won the game.
You're just going by this year, though.
Yeah, and they missed the playoffs last year. They missed the playoffs a year, 2 out of 3 years or whatever.
You're not thinking he's a bad quarterback, though, are you? He was having some big numbers, though, this year before he got hurt.
It just goes to what we have talked about for years now, Arnie. Of course he's not a bad quarterback. He's an excellent quarterback, but he's not being asked to be paid as an excellent quarterback, a good quarterback. He's being asked to be paid Jared Goff, Carson Wentz kind of money. And by the way, those guys are overpaid too. But just because Jared Goff got overpaid, just because Carson Wentz got overpaid, doesn't mean the Cowboys have to make the same mistake.
Same amount of money, who would you rather have, Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott?
Probably Lamar Jackson.
But you don't say that very confidently.
Well, I mean, you know,
one guy was an MVP, and probably the MVP.
Yeah, so I would take Lamar. Well, I feel like we're living. You know, I'm trying not to live in the moment with Lamar. But Dak, like, look,
you have to though.
Yeah, I mean, Dak did get to the playoffs twice, but I don't know, man. I mean, I would take Lamar. I would
That's
take
a
Lamar.
Tough one, isn't it?
I would take Lamar. It goes back to me.
I would
me.
Take Lamar, too, but I wouldn't be too confident in it.
But what I also would say is it goes back to me what we have talked about with Dak for a year and a half, which is it's not an insult to take $31, $32 million a year. You don't have to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. I know with Patrick Mahomes, he's not going to be. But, like, at a certain point, you know, Colin Cowherd always says, read the room. And it's like, you're a really good quarterback. You had one good year. Since then, 9-7, 10-6, 8-8. That doesn't sound like the highest paid quarterback in football to me. Doesn't mean you're bad. Doesn't mean, by the way, you can live pretty well off $30 million a year,
yeah.
Arnie. And sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you're right about that. Sometimes you could take $32 million. I like the point when they go, well, I've got a limited life expectancy, a limited time in the NFL, and I've got to make every dime I can. Well, you'll make $150 million instead of $170 million. That doesn't even bring up incentives and bonuses and commercials and endorsements and stuff like that, being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
Believe me, we're not feeling bad for you.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I remember talking with you about this before, but, you know, we all saw the news. I mean, Tony Romo signed for $17 million a year to be the face of CBS football over there. And Troy Aikman's doing well for himself. Jason Witten somehow got a job in the booth right out of he was so bad he had to unretire to go play again. But being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and they have won under him, not to the level that fans want, I get that. But, like, to me, I just sit here and say, like, and we'll see what happens when the negotiations actually ramp back up again. But it's like, man, dude, you just got to read the room, know what the value of a $30-plus million a year contract is. As you said, Arnie, know what the value of being the Cowboys quarterback is, and I hope he makes the smart decision.
All right, we'll take a look at some of the other games in Week 12. Can the Steelers go 16-0? And I want to talk a little bit about Tua. We'll get to all that coming up next. Aaron Torres, Arnie Spann, you're in for Jason Smith and his best friend, Mike Harmon, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, welcome back to the Fox Sports Radio studios. The segment brought to you by Geico. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Arnie Spanier. You can be part of the show. Aaron underscore Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. In for the guys, Jason Smith and his best friend, Mike Harmon. Bad night to miss, even if it is Thanksgiving. Do you want to bring up Claire Torres?
Claire? Oh. I don't know Claire.
You don't know Claire?
No, I don't.
The Scottish Deerhound that's been crowned best in show at the 2020 National Dog Show today?
Wow.
Beating out hundreds of other pooches for the prestigious title?
Did
What's
that happen
wrong with
at
you?
Night? I thought it was a replay. I'm confused. Well,
it was a replay of this morning. I'm sure DeSager put it in the update. I'm sure it was in the update. I'm sure DeSager. And Claire, the Scottish Deerhound, wins best in show. Why is it never the Golden Retriever? Is there something going on I should know here?
Are you
Is there
calling,
a prejudice against Golden Retrievers?
Are you calling the dog show rigged?
Oh, if somebody's got to do it, then let it be me. Then let it be me.
That'd be a heck of a 30 for 30. Get to the bottom of that.
Do they have
corruption
a,
in the dog shows?
Do they have like a mutt division, a mixed division?
I don't know. You should be the presenter for that, though. You're kind of a mutt yourself.
Oh, by the way, that pays well. I have two dogs. They're both mixed. One's, I don't know what he is. Like, we call him Heinz 57. It's a mix of everything. That's Stanley for the Stanley Cup. We name our dogs after sports. But the first dog we got, also a rescue, is Mr. Barksdale, because we got it from these two girls who named it after the guy from The Wire, the drug dealer on The Wire, Mr. Barksdale.
First of all, you don't only name your dogs after sports. I believe your son is named after Shea Stadium,
yes, yeah.
So we got that going.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yes. By the way, very controversial moment in the Torres household last night. Wife's been trying to convince me to get a dog forever. Pulls up this dog on Instagram, which, fine, it was cute, but it was a purebred, and the price tag was $3,000.
Woo!
And my mom is in town. Well, she's here for the holiday, but
right.
I said, no way. And my mom was like, what's this? And I said, you know, my wife, you know, she's trying to, I said her name, but I said, she's trying to get me to get a dog. And I said, $3,000 isn't the way to get me to do it. And then my wife was like, you always pit me against your mom when she's here. I'm like, no, I don't. My mom loves you. Stop. But I'm not paying $3,000 for a dog.
Get a rescue. Get a rescue. Oh. They're great dogs. When you get a rescue, they
love you
when you do that.
There's no doubt. We
What are you going to name your dog? Husky for the Connecticut Huskies or what?
Kemba, maybe? Shabazz? How about Shabazz? Napier?
I like Kemba. I like that one.
Charlie Villanueva. He was there when I was there. Emeka. How about Emeka? It's got a nice little...
Oh, you already picked out a bunch of names,
I see. Yeah, I'm pretty sure none of them would fly with the wife. She wants a female dog so she can put little pink dresses on it and stuff.
Oh, jeez, for crying out loud. Go get a rescue. You'll love it. I'm telling you.
No, my mom is an animal advocate. She has probably had 7 or 8 rescues throughout her life. So we're team rescue in the Torres household.
I only bring that up because NBC had the dog show on this morning, but they re-ran it in place of the football game that was canceled. The Baltimore-Pittsburgh game canceled, postponed, moved to, I'm getting my days mixed up, moved to Sunday.
As of now.
Who knows if that's true because Lamar Jackson has come down with COVID. And my thing to you was, is that the best thing to run is to rerun the dog show? You couldn't, if you're NBC, rerun Law and Order, rerun the last time Baltimore played Pittsburgh. You brought up a good idea, rerun old NBA games when you used to have them with Michael Jordan.
That's
not bad.
I mean, rerun, you know, last Sunday night game. That was a great game. Chiefs Raiders. I mean, it's not. We can figure out something better than the dog show. By the way, brighter future. Claire or Lamar Jackson? Buying or selling?
I don't know. I think this is the first win for Claire in the dog show. So
Over under more championships over the course of their career, Lamar Jackson or Claire? Claire's got one right now.
I'm gonna stick with Claire.
Really? Wow! Shots fired. I hope Lamar Jackson's not listening.
I'm gonna stick with Claire on that one.
Imagine if Lamar Jackson was listening. Poor guy has COVID. He's just stuck at home, quarantining, listening to us. And
how do you think that's going to go ahead and play out? By the way, what do you think is going to happen there? Is Baltimore going to play this weekend or without Lamar Jackson? Are they going to move that game to Tuesday or move it to Week 18? I don't think they're going to play it this Sunday. I don't see how they could do that.
So all I'll say is there was a little tiff on Twitter earlier with two NFL insiders, one of them being Adam Schefter. And basically what Adam Schefter was saying was that John Harbaugh has basically told the players that they can't come back to the facility until Monday at
right.
the earliest.
Right.
So I would think that this game is just not getting played at all. I can't imagine that if you're not even in the facility until Monday, that you could somehow play on Tuesday, but that's me.
Yeah, so you think that Tuesday is the next event? Because I'm not so sure they want to do that. But I guess either, because if they don't play Sunday and they just move it up to week eight, or move it back to week 18, they don't have to move the Thursday game, which was supposed to be what, Dallas and Baltimore?
Thursday would be Dallas and Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah, so they won't have to move that. Then they can keep that scheduled. Otherwise, they're going to have to move that game also now, you know?
No, it's really crazy. And it's interesting to me, like, because I'll give like the college football specifically, they're moving games left and right and everyone's just adjusting on the fly. It feels different to me in the NFL, right? Like there's so much at stake, and I'm not saying Colorado and San Diego State don't have a lot at stake too, but it's like, I just feel like, you know, you're talking about like just as an example, right? If Adam Schefter report is accurate, and it always is, they're not even going to be allowed in the facility till
right.
Monday. I can't imagine them playing on Tuesday. And it's like, you know, at a certain point, like, I don't know. I don't know if integrity is the right word, but we do want to crown a Super Bowl champ kind of under the most ideal of circumstances. If you have teams coming and playing on one day's notice or whatever, I don't know.
You know, people say, well, what are you making a big deal about this? They're going to play Sunday. If they don't play Sunday, they'll move it to Tuesday or week 18. Well, that's where I think DeSager and I disagree. I think the NFL would like to move it to week 18. I think they want that extra team in the playoffs. I think they want eight teams in each conference. They saw how well it worked for baseball, and I'm sure ratings were up for them. Plus, nobody will have a bye week. You'll have all eight teams playing. The wild card games will be fantastic all day long, and you're not getting a dog team in as that eighth team. Right now, it'd be like Miami or Las Vegas Raiders. So I think the NFL wouldn't mind having that extra team in there, you know?
No, I don't think they would mind. I personally think it's unfair. I personally think it, you know, if the Steelers go 15-0 or 16-0 or whatever they end up going, even if they don't, I just think you got to give teams some kind of reward at the end of the season for playing so hard. And by the way, I thought the one bye that was set up for this season actually incentivize teams to play well late, whereas now if nobody gets a bye and it really isn't that much of a difference, I don't know, man. I get why the NFL did it. I think to your point, the owners are salivating at even more playoff games for even more TV money to make up for the money they've lost with no tickets or limited tickets or whatever. I'm just saying I prefer a world where at least somebody gets something for finishing the way that they do at the beginning of the at the end of the season.
Tua or Dak Prescott, who would you rather have?
The track record's bigger. It's all relative. I mean, I want Dak. I just don't want him at $40 million a year.
Well, that's what comes with it. That's like saying, I want to date that girl, but I don't want to date her when she got the mole on the side of her face.
No, or pull the Arnie Spanier. I don't want to take her to the fancy restaurant. I'm going to sneak out the side door if the date doesn't go well, which you've talked about many times on our show. No, I think Dak's a really good quarterback. He's won the division twice. Like, it's not as though he's not a good quarterback. I just can't pay him like he's the best quarterback. And I've argued this for 2 years. I know you've heard me go on this rant. But just because somebody else decided to overpay their quarterback, a Jared Goff, a Carson Wentz, whomever, it doesn't mean that the Cowboys should do the same. Now, if you can get Dak at a reasonable number where you can still pay other guys, it's a different conversation. I just don't know if Dak is willing to do that or not.
I don't know what I want to talk about next. Should we get to some Week 12 game? Should we talk about Tua? Can the Steelers go 16-0? Would Harbaugh leave? Is he going to leave? Would he go to Dallas? What about the college rankings? How about that as a tease? We'll get to all that, probably not.
That's
but first,
a busy segment.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Talk about the start of college hoops, Torres. It's like a tidal wave. It just came rolling in. You know, when I heard all these games were postponed or canceled, for some reason, I just assumed we were going to get like five games to start things off.
Right.
We had like 100 games. It was absolutely great to see all that stuff, you know?
No, it is. It is. And what's crazy is it's no different than football in that everyone has a slightly different policy.
Yes.
So Baylor, who was actually number two in the country, their head coach Scott Drew test positive, and basically they got kicked out of the tournament they were supposed to play at Mohegan Sun. Meanwhile, Gonzaga had a positive test this morning. It was in the travel party. They quarantined that person, and they played, and it's a great game. It's actually, the replay's on FS1 right now. So everything's a little bit different, but to your point, that's the great thing about college basketball. There are so many games, and there's, by the way, a lot of big games coming up next week. The Maui Invitational, which is not in Maui, starts on Monday. Kentucky-Kansas on Tuesday. Michigan State-Duke on Tuesday. So it's going to be a fun week of college hoops.
You know, I told you baseball added teams to the playoffs, and we thought it was fantastic. NFL did add one this year. They could possibly add two. NBA, I don't know what the hell we did. We added a play-in game for the ninth and tenth team if you're within like 104 games or something like that. So
104 games.
That was incredible. Why are we not doing the same thing for college football? This, if we're ever going to add teams to a playoff, it would be this year, especially when we may run into trouble. Can you imagine if Clemson gets another game canceled and they don't finish in second place in their own division? It happens to be Miami, and Miami plays Notre Dame for the ACC championship. Now's a golden opportunity to go with, not only with Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Clemson. You throw in A&M, Florida. Maybe you have Cincinnati, BYU play each other. Winner get in. Throw a Pac-12 team in there like Oregon. And do it that way. Get the top eight teams in there. This is the chance to try it. If you can't try it this year, you're never going to do it, Torres.
Well, and by the way, you talked about Clemson potentially missing the ACC title game. Ohio State's game's in jeopardy on Saturday against Illinois. And you talk about
because it. Because of COVID on that?
Because of COVID. There's some
I didn't see that.
Some positive cases at Ohio State. As of right now, the game is still on, but it's kind of a fluid situation. But I bring all this up to say that basically, there's a lot going on right now across the sport. It's crazy. I'm not a guy that believes we need to expand the playoff. I don't know that this year it would be the worst thing. I go back and forth because I just think it's so hard to know. And the thing, too, is, right, usually the argument against the playoff is two different things. One, by the time you play 13 games, you know who the four best teams are. You don't need the seventh best team, the third best team from the SEC, whatever.
That's not what that is about, though. I don't care about that. We don't know. What? We don't care who teams 40 through 68 are in the tournament, but we love that stuff, you know?
Well, but the other argument is these are college athletes. You're already going to be playing 15 games. You can't be adding more games to the schedule. But this year, some of these teams are only playing six or seven games. So it's not as though the argument is this year, oh, they're playing too many games. It's like they're, you know, some of these teams aren't even going to get in 10 games. So this year, I would be a little bit more in favor of it. Now, I would also add, I would like to see the BYUs and Cincinnati's get in, but it doesn't appear as though BYU has any shot. So if we're just going to expand the thing to add the third place team from the SEC, I'm out. If we're going to add the third best team from the Big Ten, I'm out. So to me, it just depends on how we're going to do it if we decide to do it.
Be honest. Do you really want BYU to get in?
I do. I'll tell you this.
I wanted them to get in.
Okay, I know where you're going, but before you
wanted them to get it, but once they did the old, we don't want to play you, Washington, then I go, you're dead to me, though.
Well, but you heard what happened, though, right?
I know, yeah, go ahead.
Basically, was that the Pac-12, the priority is to, if your game is canceled in the Pac-12,
yes,
the priority is to get you another Pac-12 opponent if there's a second game canceled.
Yes.
And so what BYU basically said was, to use an Arnie Spanier analogy, I don't want to be the girl with the mole at the bar waiting for the date that never shows up. We either are in this or out of this. So that's my understanding of it, is they just didn't want to prepare all week for a game and then have the other team pull out.
You're BYU. You're a 5 out of 10. If you want to come to the party, this is the only way you can come to the party. Don't be so picky.
Arnie, I'm guessing, I know your wife was a blind date. I'm guessing you left a lot of blind dates at the bar. You walked in and you said, she's not my type.
Torres, beggars can't be choosers. You got to know what you're doing out there, BYU. It's not like you're a college cheerleader. Be happy that we're recognizing you when we gave you an invitation to the party.
I agree.
You turned this down is what you did.
I agree. You know what's the crazy disappointing thing about BYU? They had like six Power 5 teams on their original schedule. And if they had actually played their original schedule, they might have really been in a position to do it. Now, obviously, we'll never know. But I don't disagree with your sentiment, Arnie, that when the opportunity presented itself to play Washington, you jump at it, especially when you're telling we'll play anyone, anytime, anywhere. Well, you got to start walking the walk and talking the talk.
You're dead to me. You're dead to me.
Just like that, huh?
Just like that. Just like the guy from Shark Tank. What's his name?
Kevin O'Leary?
Yeah, Kevin O'Leary.
Mr. Wonderful? Mr. Wonderful, who's not wonderful?
That's me.
We should start calling you Mr. Wonderful.
I'm the Mr. Wonderful of sports talk radio.
See, I'm more Robert. I'm thoughtful. I'm considerate. Handsome. You're old.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy, especially with all that money, but he's a good-looking guy anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
You got married recently. All right, though, we'll come back. You know what? We'll go through, finish out the hour. We'll get to some college picks. I do want to talk more about Tua, so we'll get to that, a little bit more about Harbaugh. So all that's coming up next. Of course, Aaron Torres, Arnie Spann, you're in for Jason Smith and his best friend, Mike Harmon, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, welcome back to the Fox Sports Radio studios. This segment brought to you by Geico. Aaron Torres, Arnie Spann, you're in for the guys. Jason Smith and his best friend, Mike Harmon. They'll be back on Monday. We're sitting in today and tomorrow. We got our show on Saturday. I work with Plank on Sunday. You want to be part of the show, Aaron_Torres? I'm at Stinkin' Genius 1. Sean says, Stinkin' Genius, come on, man. Work a double shift tonight. Give Ben Maller the night off. You know everybody in the Maller militia loves you. As a founding member, also known OG of the militia, I can and will guarantee your safety. That is
from
Sean up there. Yeah. I haven't worked for Ben. Have you ever worked for Ben? Have you ever done that shift?
Never done that shift. You know who they seem to love, that Maller militia? Brian Fenley, they seem to really like.
Really? Really?
He's tweeting about it. I wasn't ready for the Brian Fenley drop. He has a lot of fans in that group. I don't know why, but it's...
I know Brian fills in a lot in that shift. Plank is filled in there. I've filled in there. I haven't filled in for Maller for like about in 6 or 7 years, maybe longer than that. And we got me and the Maller militia got into a big fight. We were throwing punches. And,
really?
I came out victorious, and I just left. That was
you came out so victorious that you refused to do the show again. That sounds made up. Yes.
All right, give us a little music. We got some college football games tomorrow, so we're doing NFL. We got some games tomorrow. That's going to start with but there's Auburn, Alabama, the Iron Bowl. You know, Torres. If this was a Saturday game, we'd be recapping this game for the whole 3 hours. This is like one of the big rivalries in all of college football out there, but this year it's not. Alabama is certainly the class act here. Matter of fact, they're favored by 24.5 points over under 62.5. Do you think not having Nick Saban on the sidelines is going to make that much of a difference, or maybe the team plays a little bit harder for Nick that he's not there?
I don't think it makes that much of a difference. For people that are just tuning in, check out the podcast. We had Ryan Fowler on from Tuscaloosa, and he brought up the good point that they've been through this before when they thought they weren't going to have Nick Saban for the Georgia game. So I think Alabama wins. They win convincingly, and I don't think it matters them not having Nick Saban.
Can you lay 24.5 against a rival in a game like that? That's a lot of lumber there, my friend.
Well, and the other thing, too, which was brought up also by Ryan, is that Auburn has had a great deal of success against Nick Saban. Three wins in Gus Malzahn's tenure, two of the last three, believe it or not. Maybe I'll just take the over and root for points. Yeah, How's that sound?
That might be the way to go. We got games tomorrow. Notre Dame taking on North Carolina. Now, the Irish only a 5.5-point favorite on the road down in Carolina. Now, Carolina could put points on the board. Notre Dame, I thought, was the much better team. Can North Carolina outscore them? They might be. I may go for the upset in this one, go with North Carolina to win the game outright here in this.
Yeah, I feel like these Friday games, weird stuff happens. Like after the holiday, you know, you probably take it easy on Thanksgiving, whatever. I don't know. Notre Dame's been so consistent, and they are coming off a bye. Now, North Carolina's coming off a bye as well. But I thought Notre Dame, the letdown game, would be after the Clemson win they played at Boston College. They ended up getting a win there. I think they win this one, and I think they cover.
One team that we never talk about, even though they're the class of the Big Ten, is Northwestern. Think about that. Any team that's leading a Power 5 conference that we talked less about than the Northwestern Wildcats? What's gone on there has just been fantastic. Now they're playing Michigan State. By the way, Pat Fitzgerald has had, what, like 9 wins in 3 or 4 of the seasons, 10 wins in 2 of the seasons. That guy's the most underrated coach in college football. Northwestern, a 13-point favorite. Michigan State stinks out loud.
They do.
I may go with Northwestern in this game and lay the points.
Yeah, I'm actually with you on that one. You look at the situation where Michigan State is coming off an off week. Northwestern coming off a big win last week against Wisconsin. But this is just styles make fights. Northwestern's the vastly superior team. They're going to cover the nearly 2 touchdowns.
And one other game, I just want to bring up Pittsburgh on the road against Clemson, who didn't get to play last week. Clemson, a 24-point favorite. They're going to open up the whole can against somebody. Might as well be Pittsburgh. I don't know if they're going to reach the 24, though, Torres.
I don't think so either. Pitt's pretty good on defense. No, you know what? They are going to cover the 24 because Pitt can't move the ball. I will take Clemson. I think they're angry, as you said, after what happened at Florida State last week.
All right. 3 hours are in the books. That was the power hour. But the bonus hour's coming up
next.
Wow. You want to be part of the show? Aaron underscore Torres. I'm in stinking genius one. We'll come on back, reset what happened in today's games. What happened to Baltimore, Pittsburgh? All that next right here on Fox Sports Radio.